96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Yeah, but I mean, what am I supposed to do? I can't just roll up to the partners and be like, hey guys, so I accidentally noticed that you're paying this white man more than me.
Wait, what? What happened?
This is so typical. My aunt found out she made less than some of her white employee stuff. Spoke up about it. Nothing happened. She still has to work there. I'm one of the best lawyers they have. I'm not one of these work twice as hard, pay me half as much. Nah. Mm-mm. That's why I make sure my white clients get less on their tax returns. It's reparations. That's what that is. I feel like Robin Hood. You know what I mean?
It's the facts.
It's just facts. I don't care if I get in trouble. I'm doing it. That's what I marched for. I took off work so I could walk down the street and do to white people, finally. Real talk, don't tell nobody because I'm going to go to full jail.
That's an excerpt from the hit HBO series Insecure. Molly, the lawyer, discovers that one of her white male colleagues makes twice the amount of money that she does. They've been at the same law firm for the same amount of time doing the same kind of work. On this Black Women's Equal Pay Day, why does it take black women 7 months of work into 2017 to equal what their white male counterparts were paid in 2016? Well, my guests are Lisa Brown Alexander, president and CEO of Nonprofit HR and author of Strong on the Outside, Dying on the Inside, Muriel Garr, co-host of Beyond the Bling on Sirius XM Channel 141, and Melanie Campbell, president and CEO of the National Coalition on Black Civic Participation and convener of the Black Women's Roundtable. We are talking about Black Women's Equal Pay Day today and why the scales, those financial scales, those earning scales, those salaries, those compensation numbers are still unbalanced. Want to talk about it? Give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, let me start with you, Muriel. How do we define Black Women's Equal Pay Day? What is that about?
Other than the inequities that black women face and what we earn every day compared to what our white counterparts earn.
Exactly. I mean, where does this come from? Particularly since we saw back in 2009, President Obama signing the Lilly Ledbetter Act, which was supposed to guarantee equal pay for equal work when it comes to women.
But women have not been earning equal pay when it compares to men for decades.
Right. Which,
and they
like
haven't.
I said,
and so you're acting like an act that was signed by President Obama was going to level the playing field when women have always been looked at as less than those that are better at giving birth and changing diapers, but not actually compensated or appreciated for what they bring to the table when it comes to being compensated.
So why is that, Melanie?
Well, I think you have a couple of factors. Gender, race, in some cases even class, play a role in all of it. So there's not one issue. We were earlier today, you know, having a conversation, you know, about this issue with several sisters from all generations, many generations, multiple generations, and try to figure out like, why are we still having this problem? Because we haven't dealt with a lot of the issues that plague us. One of the things, and I'm so glad I want to hear from the sister next to me, because from a human resources perspective, understanding that we carry, in many times, you're discriminated against because in many times when you apply for a job, they want to know what your last salary was. If you're already behind, and then so if you know, so they say, well, so you know, I can remember when I was in corporate America many, many decades ago, it was like, you know, well, you know, you really, you know, if your salary is too low, then people think something's wrong with you, as opposed to understanding the systemic process that has impacted us. So the idea of having it so that people will stop asking those questions is also a policy issue that needs to be addressed when it comes to equal pay.
Mm-hmm. And is being addressed right now, legislatively.
Yeah. So, Lisa, let's talk about practical things. In this particular example, as I said, the character, she accidentally discovered what her coworker was making. There was a paycheck that was sent to her office instead of his office. She opened it up and saw more than twice what she was making. But that's private industry. In government work, whether it's small town, big city, state, federal, you know how much your colleagues are making. It's public information.
Generally speaking, yes.
Right. But in private industry, unless you stumble upon it, how do you know that you are being treated fairly or unfairly?
You don't. You don't. Unless you discover it, many organizations will not disclose salary information. They will go as far as to forbid it in their policies for employees to talk about salary with each other. If you're in a union environment, different story. But management positions are not covered by contracts, union contracts. And so the likelihood of that, you being able to discover that information, is slim to none.
So how do you address that if you suspect it, whether, as a black woman, you suspect that a white male counterpart who is making the same widgets at the same kind of desk that you're making, you're a senior VP of widgets, he's a senior VP of widgets, and yet he may be making $20,000 to $30,000. Is this a legal issue, or is this just how things are negotiated?
It's a combination of both. And I would go back to what was said before about this being a historical issue. If you've systematically and historically been underpaid, the time and the space that it takes to close that gap is sometimes very, very difficult. If you're 30% behind the guy next to you, an organization is likely not going to make the decision to close that gap for you. You'll have to close it by going to another employer and negotiating better the next time. So it's a tough walk.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about Black Women's Equal Pay Day. What is fair? What is appropriate when it comes to white male counterparts compared to the salaries of black women? If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kimberly.
Then dial your operator.
Kimberly, we lost you. Give me a call back. Sandy, calling from Capitol Heights. What's on your mind? Sandy, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Go right ahead, please.
Hi, yeah. I was calling because I work in an field with predominantly white male,
mm-hmm.
and they do tend to think they're a little bit superior as far as the job field, as far as their promotion, because we have had engineers that come in, black female engineers, white male engineers, and of course, like you said, one of the black females find out that one of the white engineers made more money accidentally because of looking at his offer letter. And but he wanted to say that it was because he had experience from another job. But still, that wasn't the case. It's just that I think they think they're superior and that they should be above us. And they have this like boys club that they're in. So to me, they're going to always try to keep us down or keep us under them, so that they're always. And even when it comes to the white female, I think that they make more than them, because I've had white females that don't make as much as the white male, and they always talk about white male bashing or white male boys club.
You've addressed several issues. Muriel, you were kind of shaking your head. Go right ahead.
Well, because we covered this on our show Beyond the Bling, one of the things that happens is that women go into the workplace and their ability to negotiate is different than men. And so if you go in and you're not willing to negotiate at the same rate that a man is willing to negotiate, you're already behind the eight ball. And then you may not know what a man is making, but you know what the pay scale is for that position.
Do you?
There's ways that information is available, and you have a sense of what that pay range is.
How do you do that? Because, I mean, you and Sandy, thank you so much for your
point. There's a lot of public information out there, and taking the time to do the research creates an opportunity for you to go in well-informed to negotiate your best deal. And your best deal is not necessarily going to be what they're going to give you to begin with.
Hold on. Let's talk about black folks, because we are talking about black women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if I may paint us with a broad brush, and I can certainly speak even, you know, for myself, is that culturally we are always taught to make do. And let me finish, Muriel. Let me finish. Come on, because I'm gonna let you speak, because I want to hear your brain. But I have to make this point that a lot of times, you know, we're just so glad to have that job. Whether, you know, whether it is a salary, a starting salary position, or, you know, it's a senior level management ivory tower kind of job. And a lot of folks are afraid that if they ask for too much, they may be told next.
And that is where the problem begins. We have to be willing to say no, and we have to be willing to walk away. We have to understand the value of what we bring to the table. A company is better because we are there. And if we go in understanding that we're bringing something that's going to create an opportunity for that company to do better and be willing to walk away, then they look at us differently. When we come in willing to accept and they know they play the game and we're like, okay, thank you, I'm so happy that you wanted to hire me, then they're going to give us the lowest amount that they can give us on the pay scale. And I've lived it. I've done it. I've had to go in and say, you know what, guys, I'm being 30% underpaid.
Mm-hmm.
And their question was, okay, how do you know that? This is how I know. And so I love what I'm doing. I appreciate it. But, you know, I can't stand for what I stand for and then continue to be paid 30% less than everybody else. So here's where I am. And the next thing was, okay, let us work on it. And they came back with not only that 30%, but 30% plus some more.
Melanie, you were about to say something.
No, I'm glad to hear her be able to do that. I think the biggest challenge with the issue of equal pay, I go back to the policy mm-hmm. and go back to the systemic way of dealing with equal pay. You know, there was an attempt under the Obama administration to pass equal pay that unfortunately failed. But for those of us who I would assume, right, a middle upper income sitting around this table, but the people who are, you know, low wage workers, who are domestic workers, who are, you know, tip workers, who are, you know, working these lower wage jobs. I mean, it takes, throwing the numbers out, it takes a black woman 66 years to get to what a white man makes 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the realities about kind of where we are as black women who are mostly heads of household, we need also a systemic change that will only happen through public policy. And so you can do what we can do individually. Knowing how to, you know, be able to do that. I worked in corporate America once in my life, you know, and I was doing pretty well, you know. You know, life shifted and changed. But what I'm excited about, because I've been too many times in this on this issue working in women's space, and we weren't part of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So what's exciting to me, you have sisters like Joy Cheney who really pushed this issue and built this whole campaign that really, a year ago, you wouldn't have seen the level. If you went on social media day a year ago, that wasn't happening. So I think part of it is being able to talk about it, not being afraid to talk about it amongst ourselves and say, hey, you know, people being able to figure out who they can trust at their jobs to talk about it. But being able to be okay to even bring it up, because mm-hmm. you're right. You know, we get the job, and if we're heads of household, we can't just walk away. Always walk away.
And that's the other piece that I want Muriel and Lisa to address, the walking away piece. But I've got to take a break. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about Black Women's Equal Pay Day. We're talking about salary equity. When is it going to change? If you want to talk about it, give us a call. We'd like to hear your experiences, your thoughts about it. Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're on the phone, Michael, calling from D.C., Choice, also on the phone. We're going to talk to you as well. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.